Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Happy hump day.
Happy hump.
Do you want me to do like the obnoxious, no. Guess what day it is? It's hump
That's
day.
That's not necessary.
I love that. And the fact that I'm married to a Mike and I get to be like, hey, Mike, guess what day it is? It brings me joy.
See, I don't call my mic Mike, so it's weird when I do. So I can't do that.
It brings me joy.
I called him Mike by accident the one day. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I don't like that.
Did I ever tell you that in agency, Heather's husband's name is Mikey.
Yeah.
And Veronica's husband's name is Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jackie has a different, so she calls him Jose Miguel.
That's really funny.
Because, you know, who wants to be left out of the Mike
club?
Well, but
does Veronica call Mike? Does she call him Mike or does she call him something else?
I think she calls him Mike. Yeah.
So we have a Michael, a Mike Burrier, a Mike, and a Mikey, and then Jose Miguel.
I mean, I don't know. It's all these men of the 70s, early 80s.
Seriously. I mean, that's the thing. It was like the most popular name for like 17 years running.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's Wednesday. We're back. We're live. This is the conclusion of what I'm now fondly referring to as Amanda's month.
Well, I didn't pick two of them.
So. You didn't pick two of them.
Yeah.
But it's been a pretty good month.
Like, it has been a good month.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the honey badgers. I haven't stopped thinking about them.
I'm so excited.
That's the thing. Like, even if you didn't really enjoy the book, like, you just can't stop thinking about the chaos that comes along with it. Although it was a good book, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I really enjoyed the book. Like,
I just wish I had more time so I can go back to that series.
And I tagged Becky, but Shelley Laurenson had posted this really long story about mafia and how it tied into honey badgers and like whatever on her Facebook page. It's hilarious.
It was so funny. It was so
funny. Also, though, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think our biggest disappointment this month were the Amazon scary stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see we're getting Christmas ones?
I did.
It's four. They're a little longer than the shorts that we've
gotten. Who are the four? Do you remember?
Rosie.
Laura Pavlov is one, right? Yeah.
Laura Pavlov. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rosie.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
I forget who the other ones were.
Was Denise Williams one of them?
Oh, I'm all over that one.
I can't remember. It was pretty good.
Like, it was odd that it was, I mean... Oh, yeah. Ali Rosen, Mia Sosa, Rosie Dannen, and Laura Pavlov.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I like the covers. Four there.
The covers are cute.
They are.
With that doorstep, that front mm-hmm. door.
I'm going to have to check those out.
It looks very cozy, like very holiday, like small townish almost. Like,
doesn't it look like the front of a Christmas card almost?
Oh, yeah, that's a better explanation.
Are they on pre-order already?
I think so. Right. I just saw them on, I just looked on Laura's. It's Home Sweet Holiday.
Oh,
is that the name of it?
That's freaking adorable. Yeah.
Right?
It's like a Hallmark Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're cute.
They're really cute.
I love that.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to.
Like punny titles they have for these ones too.
Well, and I had already read a couple of Rosie Dannen books, and they're pretty decent, but I think this solidified me as a fan for her.
I really enjoyed this book a lot.
I loved it a lot. I haven't read anything else yet, but I plan to. Just...
Yeah. So, okay, Amanda, can you give us all the details?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm distracted by these.
No, yeah.
Leah's now pre-ordering books. We've lost
Leah. I'm not pre-ordering them. I'm just distracted by the blurbs.
Tell us all the details so we can talk about the book.
The title is Fan Service, author Rosie Dannen. The series, it's a standalone. It's in the same world as The Roommate and the Intimacy Experiment. That is hard to say.
It It is.
The release date for this was April 30th, 2024. Tropes are workplace romance, close proximity, business partners, second chances, found family, friend group, Hollywood norm, behind the scenes of adult entertainment industry. POV is dual POV, third person. Audio narrators were Aaron Shedlock and Brittany Presley. And you can find it, this was traditionally published with Berkeley Romance. It's available in ebook, print, and audiobook formats. Content trigger warnings, mentions of sex work, public scrutiny, media harassment, past emotional trauma, sexism in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, so Rosie, a lot of her books deal with sex workers. So it's kind of become part of her, I don't want to say like her thing, but I think it's just part of what she wants to bring into romance is that, these are people in our society and they deserve HEAs. So, sorry, I
Well,
have
and I
some
think
drink.
it's also like she shows that sometimes it is a choice. Like
Right.
it's not something that they felt like they had to do or they fell into it because they didn't have any other options. Choices were made to
Yeah.
like in that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the characters in this book. Amanda, I do feel, and I said this on Sunday, I feel like I had like a little peek inside your brain.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Because
Well, Becky and I were talking about this today.
Devin is, I think that he's the picture perfect of your hero. Hard shell, little bit standoffish, but there's depth there that you're not even prepared for. And I think that for you want a hero that has so many layers that as you're reading, you're just picking them off and being like, okay, he's got a layer over here. It's like the little kid that gets the pack of Post-its and has to
Yeah.
take every single one off and stick it to something.
I am unnaturally obsessed with Post-its, so yeah,
Yeah,
that
I
could be
feel
it.
like for a character, if the character was a Post-it, you'd be picking that off and setting it and sticking it on something and being like, oh, I like that. Oh, that looks great here.
They're not layered like onions, they're layered like Post-its.
Yeah. Yeah,
He's
I
Post-it
do like
head.
layers. That is true.
Well, but Becky and I were also talking because this book is a little chaotic, but like in a good way. So you either like really chaotic or like these really like in-depth detailed romantasy worlds that have like really like
Deep
specific
world building. Yeah.
deep world building
Because
or chaos of honey badgers and
if we look at the
werewolves.
books that are your favorites, the honey
Yeah.
badgers, if
But
there's
then like LJ Andrews, like there's
yeah.
so much like detail and thought and like systematic planning that goes into those.
And then if we look at like Left of Forever and Savor It, it's these men with layers and complexities that are not just easily sussed out. Like they're digging deep. And it's like, okay, I now see Amanda. This book was kind of like, I see why she loves this book. This is what Amanda loves.
Yeah, that's probably an accurate assessment because even in
She's
like
like, I
the
feel
deep
so
world,
seemingly me alone.
even in the ones that are deep world building, like I still need that layered character. Like, and so those will tend to be my favorites because I can read something with good world building, but if they don't, if I'm
But
not,
the characters have to
if the,
be
yeah, if I'm
there
not,
too.
if I don't care about them, then
Who cares about the world? It can
yeah.
all just explode.
Pretty much. And but I can take like a not so great world or even like a not so like dynamic story. And if you make me love the characters, then I don't care. Like,
You,
I'm
but
very character driven.
you are. And I think that this book does something so well. First of all, we know that there's been conversation happening around, third person versus first person. A lot of current new to romance readers are saying they don't read third person, they don't like it. That's part of what was blamed for the downfall of historical was third person. And so, going into a book with third person, I have a certain expectation that it's going to be a really deep narrative, right? Like, because this is third person, deep third person. And I'm going to, and then sometimes that falls flat, right? Sometimes we don't get that deep narrative. Rosie gave us that deep narrative more than I've read in a minute.
I have to go back pretty far to get a third person done that well in a contemporary. I think.
I mean, I'm taking Nora Roberts out of the equation.
She doesn't count.
She doesn't count. But yeah, I mean, this is a third person that also I want to scream at people like who are saying that I won't read third person. You are missing a story that is
like the Cynthia Williams we read. Those are third person, and she has that depth and chaotic welcomeness.
Well, and Natalie Kenya's in third person too?
Or Denise is third person? Denise Williams?
A lot of traditional published authors will be third person. But I think that Rosie is probably a stronger third person writer than even Olivia Dade.
There's a, not that I enjoy Olivia Dade's stories, but there's a depth to the verbiage and the imagery that Rosie gives us that we don't always get with Olivia's books.
I feel so connected to Alex and Devin. Like the connection I feel to them, which is sometimes hard to get in third person.
And I think too, like even bringing up Olivia Dade, so like I had a hard time like understanding fanfic, even after like the episodes that we've done, we've talked about it like a million times. I've read stuff, I've done whatever. This book explains fanfiction in a way to me that I can understand. And that was something Olivia Dade couldn't do for me.
With her spoiler alert and stuff.
This was just like it turned something in my brain and I was like, oh, you know, the way she tells it, like in response to like the fan club to his show and just the entire storyline. I was like, oh, I get
it. It's like Catherine Moon giving us like
Omega versus a trope.
Yeah. It was that same thing for me when I read this and I was like, oh, I get it now.
Well, and I think the way that this book is structured, you get like the wiki articles, you get like the group chat things, you get so many other little entities that really draw you into the whole like backstory of where Alex's journey started that I think it adds another layer that you didn't realize you needed.
And it was just in a way that I could understand because I was never in any of the forum groups or the chats or any of that. And so like when the one that I read from Olivia, it had all of that in there and I was so confused and I was so lost. And that's just a, you know, me not being exposed to that. It's nothing that she did wrong, but for me in my brain, like this worked for me.
So it was the way it was introduced, I think. Like it was like subtle, but like in your face at the same time.
I felt like the way she tells the story was more immersive. And I think that it created more, I think there was more sensory engagement, the way she's descriptive and she talks about things. She builds the world. She includes things like smell and touch. And there was an immersiveness that I haven't felt in a book in a minute. Like I did feel that with the honey badgers, but that's because like, you know, they talk about like fur and
it's
honey.
It's a different kind of immersiveness.
It is. But I think part of it though, too, is like the fictional world of the, like the series and like the story of Alex and Devin. I just had a total brain fart. Like, I think the fact that like their story, the two storylines of like, his character in the TV show and what he's going through, like she created such a parallel to it that it made more sense.
And I think it's balanced with so much emotion too. Like which you're getting, you're not really getting that in the Honey Badgers. You are, but you're not. Like it's more of like a, you know, a chaotic, funny kind of thing, chaotic thing in that one. And while there's humor in this one, it's deeply emotional. Like, and I would even say that I connected with probably Alex more in this one than I did with Devin. Like just, I mean, not that I didn't both of them, but it was like a deep connection. Like I still like, I'm still thinking about this book months later.
Well, and for Alex, like she lives quietly with her dad. She volunteers at the local youth mentorship program. Like there's so much more to her than just the fandom.
But I think part of it though, too, is like she is for all intents and purposes, a town outcast. And so she has this other level of conflict with her character that we don't always get.
I do like that she has a little bit of pettiness towards Devin from that past encounter. Like, I was like, Alex wears some petty pants with a side of bitter sparkles. Like, I kind of loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I hold a grudge. I fully admit it. So I was impressed by the length of the grudge held.
I also felt like the Arcane Files, the cult favorite werewolf detective TV show, like, I don't understand fandoms. I have a child that is crazy into supernatural, and I know that this is kind of supposed to be like a parallel to that, a little bit inspired by, but it did this level of loyalty to the fan form, to the archive, to the show. Like, it did help me understand things.
Same.
You know, I
Well,
kind of got it.
and I think
Sort of.
one thing I liked is there's so many like throwbacks to like the early 90s, like Teen Beat and like all of those little things that I really enjoyed. Like they mentioned Kathy, like the comic strip Kathy at one point. And it's just, it made one, it made me like feel kind of old, but also it may it. You figure how many shows that were on at that time, like they're re people like are revisiting it with like podcast rewatch and things like that. So it like brings like fandom like back like into like the forefront for a lot of stuff.
Stacy says she really liked how she really got fandom right. And Stacy says, I felt so seen by this book.
Yeah, and I think that's why it, like you were talking about, like we don't really like get the fandoms necessarily, but I feel like this explained it in a way to get it. And then for Stacey to say she feels seen, then we know that she did it right. You know, it's like, so something is, something's clicking on all levels there.
And it was so kind of relatable because it's something that we know happens in Hollywood, that when you have a show that makes you a star, people can't see you outside that role. So you kind of get typecast into those roles, or your career really ends because that show has ended. And we see that with lots of stars. And I liked that she brought that in for Devin, you know, that was part of his identity and that floundering and trying to figure out who he is next. Like, I did like that a lot. But I'm always going to be a fan of a Hollywood set type romance. So.
I'm hit or miss on those, but I like the fact that like he was not this like uber popular like party guy who hadn't like not a care in the world. Like he had like a skewed perspective of how like normal people live, but like he's been in this life for so long, but like he's floundering. So we got that side of it.
So we have the one night after the rare wolf blood moon. He wakes up naked in the woods, disoriented, realizing he might actually be turning into a werewolf. And so then he searches, because, you know, Google werewolf
Yeah, I mean,
symptoms.
of course. Like, what
I
else are you
mean,
going to
that's a very realistic thing, though. Like, she made it. Use Google, people. You can figure anything out with the Google.
God, there are lots of people that should use it more.
So many people.
Yes.
So, you know,
Like a simple date
catalogs.
search.
And he, you know, finds the old wiki, cataloging the details of the lore of the show. I thought this was all really. This was so interesting, and it read so fast. Like, I wasn't bogged down. It was a really interesting way to kind of show us what's happening, tell us what's happening, without making it slow the pace of the story down. That's where I'm going with
Yeah, and
that.
she kind of like I like the way that she did it because it wasn't too deep into a lore, but
Yeah.
it was just enough because it mirrored the show. So you already have like this kind of basic setup, and then it's basically he's like the only one. So there's no need to create this huge like backstory that there's like this whole like
Hidden
pack of
shifter
wolves
world.
living
Yeah.
somewhere else, So I think
Well,
she really did it well by only doing that. So she didn't have to get bogged down with any of that and she could focus on the other parts of the story. But it was so fun.
and it's one of those things like as you're reading, you're like, is he really turning into this werewolf or is he having like an existential crisis and like is just seeing things? So it's like when you, it takes a while. I mean, for me at least, it took me a while to get to the point where I was like, oh, he really is the
Oh, did
werewolf.
it? Yeah,
Yeah,
really?
just because the, I mean, I was listening to it, and so you
Okay.
guys know how I listen
Did
to
you
a
thought
book.
like he was emotionally like really having like an existential
I really
crisis in
thought like for like a
uh-oh.
hot minute there, because like he
Like
was
pseudo
talking about how like he
symptoms?
really wants this show to be like rebooted and all this stuff, and it's like, is he just like imagining like the chaos that is happening? Like, is he having like a midlife crisis
The
at this
Werewolf
point?
Trials, based on the TV plot lines. I
Yes.
still am giggling about those.
Yeah.
Yes, it was amazing. Like,
And she just tranquilizes
I mean, you do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
You do. I really did understand. I really did like that they test possible cures based on the TV plot lines and stuff
Yeah.
like that. Like, I thought that was really fun and innovative. I think that's the thing I felt about this book going through it is this book felt really fresh.
I've never read anything like it.
No, I, like, because, as part of our show, we always like to talk about if you liked this, you should read this. I don't know that there's stuff out there that's exactly like this.
No.
I mean, there might be. I haven't read it though.
I haven't either, but it's just one of those things like you get, but there's so many little like subsects of it. Like you get the shifter side of it, but it's not really a shifter romance at
Yeah.
the same time. So it's like there's so many intricate pieces that if she had taken one of them out, it wouldn't have worked as well either.
Yeah.
I also liked the beats of this story where we go from the shift of mutual annoyance to mutual trust to chemistry. We
Yeah.
didn't necessarily get chemistry before they stopped being annoyed. Like there was sparks, but it felt more like sparks because, oh my God, you're touching me. Stop being
Well,
annoying,
and it
kind of
was like,
sparks.
'cause when they were doing like the lie detector piece of it, and he was like, "Did you have a crush on me when you were younger?" Like it's
Yeah.
like humorous annoyance, like intrigue.
And then at the same time, like he's smelling her and being very attracted and not
But he didn't
understanding
like
why
her
because he's having
smell
exact,
because
but
she
it,
smelled so bad.
but then it's like then it goes from that to, you smell so good and like, it was that paired with it, which I thought like worked
I really liked
really
when
well.
he showed up at her dad's house and like helped him with stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Why does this house smell so good?" Like he could not get over how good the
Yeah.
house smelled. And when
Yeah.
she showed up and she was like, "Why are you here?" And he's like, "We have vegan food." And he's a werewolf and
Yeah.
needs lots of protein.
But I just felt like their connection, like the vulnerability in their connection, I guess. The romantic beats of the story, the romantic through line in this story, I think was exceptional. It was a little bit of a slow burn, but it didn't feel slow.
It
It made
didn't,
sense.
but that's the thing, it worked. I think if it had been any earlier, then it would have felt forced. Like they needed to get over a lot of humps, for the lack of a better term. Because they both had a lot of hurts in their past, and like
Yeah.
they dealt with, well, and like when she was telling him about like when they first met, and like you find out like where his mind was at that time and her mind was at that time and why they both like had reactions that they did. So I think that is a big part of it. If you didn't have the build up and like the openness that they created with each other, I don't think it would have worked as well.
Yeah. What were your thoughts, Amanda, on the cabin getaway and then you had the forest chased? Kind of blurs that line between primal attraction and emotional intimacy. And I know you like a deep connection.
I do, and but I do. I also like
I mean,
the
I've made you
primal
read
play.
Primal
Like I
Play,
like the primal
so
play. So I was down.
we're good with it.
Yeah.
No connection needed there.
I don't know if
It was
Jenny had
good.
gotten to that part yet. She tried to get through this, but life with the new job is just too busy, so she's
Yeah.
not here this
Yeah.
evening. But I will be interested. She's in the chat. I'll be interested to hear her thoughts on that scene.
I'm always way more forgiving and paranormal.
Yeah.
Always. So
Well, but I
it's
think
different.
I kind of feel like we needed a scene like that because like when he is in his werewolf form, like he's like kind of unhinged.
Yeah.
Well, I
I mean,
felt.
she needs to trank him. And so like I feel like that it made sense and it wasn't like a throwaway scene. Like you know how sometimes like you'll be reading a book and then something happens, you're like, that's really out of pocket or out of
Yeah.
character. It like that didn't feel like it fit this story in
Yeah.
the way that it progressed.
Jenny says she was okay with it because he still checks in with her.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think we needed it because of like fixating on the scent. Like there was this line with his character of these primal, what's the word I'm looking for? Primal instinct, behavior, the scent, the stuff like that.
Yeah.
So a chase, I kind of was reading it going, God, I hope we get a chase scene. You kind of want that. Because we
Like you
had
almost
that.
expect it.
Well, we
Yeah,
had
I
that.
was. Oh, go ahead.
We had it in that werewolf book we read last year. We saw it in Wolf Gone Wild, you know.
Yeah, there's
Yeah.
often a chase scene
So.
of some sort.
And I think like, and I went back through my highlights because I didn't have time to reread, but I enjoy it when like there's a smell, when they smell each other, when there is a scent, like if a scent is described, like if you ever look at highlights from any of my books, even contemporaries, I like to for someone to describe how they smell. Like that is
But
just,
that's what I'm saying. This was so immersive about. Like
yeah.
it hit on your senses. It wasn't just
Yeah.
the world building. She talks about the feel of touching him, the scent, him smelling her. Like it was more than just visual in this story.
Yeah.
It was all encompassing and it was so incredibly done. And this is where I know that Rosie is, she's a trad pup, so she's got a label behind her and all of this stuff. I think she's underrated. Why
Oh,
aren't
yeah.
more people screaming about her books? Because this was hilarious. This was funny. This it layered with emotions, and the pacing was so fast. I would rather read this than any Megan Quinn any
Well, and the thing
day.
is, this is a 447 page
Yeah.
book.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
Is it that long? 447?
447.
I had no idea.
Exactly.
No
That's the
idea.
thing. When we, I mean, I
Whoa.
listened to it, so like I got a different like
I
side of
listened to
it.
one po I listened to it at 1.28, I think is what I was at.
I mean, I listen to everything at like 1.75, but like my thing is when we listen or read a book that is almost 450 pages and we're like, that did not feel like 450 pages, you know the author's doing something right because we
Yeah.
constantly complain about these big, hunky, like chunky books that don't need to be chunky. But the way this book is laid out and the way the storyline plays out, I think if she had cut anything, it would not have made as much sense and it wouldn't have worked. And we would have lost some of that emotion and we would have lost some of that humor and fun and the character growth that we got from both of them.
Did the third act conflict in this book bug you? Because there is miscommunication and insecurity. We've got Devin's fear of losing control, Alex's fear of rejection. It causes that temporary rift.
It didn't bother me because I think everything leading up to it, you kind of saw it coming. Like their
Yeah.
insecurities are happening the whole time. Like you know how they're feeling. Like I felt like it was coming. Like I felt like that was going to happen and it wasn't unnecessary. I didn't feel like too angsty or any of that. I felt like it fit.
It felt reaffirming of that they are constantly choosing each other. It wasn't about fame. It wasn't about the magic or his shifting. It was about truly, this is my person. I choose you. I'm choosing this moment.
Well, and it was also about them choosing the vulnerability of themselves too. And I think that's the key thing, is they both had so many ish not issues, but so many pieces of themselves that they were working on throughout the story. And it's like they could have gotten to the point where they were at the end of the book, but at the same time, they were each other's catalysts for getting there, like with help. It wasn't because of them, but it definitely was with them.
I did love the ending of this book. I thought it was like humor, heart, and a wink to fandom. You know, I thought that was really well done. I came across somebody that said Devin was a golden retriever energy meets midlife crisis. His redemption arc and self-awareness moments hit hard, even if he often feels 10 years younger than 42.
And I think that too plays into like him being a Hollywood star. It's like that constant need to be this person that goes out and goes to these parties and networks and does all of this, especially if you're not, you know, immensely famous. And he's stuck. He's kind of stuck back in the Arcane files. Like, you know, it's like he didn't really move on from there. So it makes sense that he feels like he's younger than he is. Like that all worked for me.
Well, and
Well,
you figure like the way they talk, like the show was 13 years long. Like it was, I mean, that's a long time.
and I think his immaturity felt like, because, you know, there were some moments that I thought he sounded a little like a bro of like 30 instead of 42. But I think that that comes with this being stunted that he played this role for so long. It was his whole identity for so long. He didn't know how to be anything but that. So he had a lot of growing up to do because from 20 to, or, you know, from 26 to however
Whenever
long
you,
he had been this character. So I felt like it didn't bother me.
No, it didn't bother me. I thought it made sense, but honestly, like, what 40-year-old man doesn't sound like a bro idiot at one point or another?
I mean, true story.
Sometimes I don't know if my husband is the child or the adult, so.
I did find another thing. One of the like Publishers Weekly had reviewed it and it said it was a standout romance, clever and meta, especially for anyone who's lived on AO3 or Tumblr. So
What is AO3?
that's
The
the
fan.
fanfic like
Oh, okay. That makes
archives.
sense.
I had a moment, I saw that and I thought, that's not a review for me. I put it down in my notes because I was like, I know what Tumblr is. I don't know what the other shit is, so
Don't,
I only
yeah.
know about the other one from our fanfic episode, so
I tuned that part out.
I think that this writing was she's witty, genuine laugh out loud dialogue, like
But with emotion that you like need.
Yeah, I mean, and characters I would throw down for, so
Yeah, I definitely like was sitting in my office giggling multiple times through this book.
This is for you, Leah. I wrote down joyful, nostalgic, and surprisingly cozy. And it did,
That's what I said when you asked me last week if I thought this was cozy, and I was like, kind of. I was like, it's on
it
that
has the
line.
cozy, like,
Like that
I'm
in
gonna say the
between.
word vibe. It has the cozy vibe without being like a true cozy. Because it has like the like emo like some of the emotions you don't typically get in the cozy, but you do want to like wrap yourself up in
Yeah.
a warm
I
blankie.
did have some secondhand embarrassment at times from Devin's inner monologue. Like some of his inner monologue, I was like, dude, no,
Thought it
please
was,
stop.
yeah.
I
But
just
it's
laughed.
hilarious because it felt so real.
It
Like,
did.
yeah, you're like, yeah, I bet he is thinking that right now.
Seriously. Like, do you want to be in the head of your husband?
No,
No.
no.
That is probably the shit that they are thinking regularly.
Okay, so I did see somebody somewhere had asked who, for Devin, who's your fan casting on him?
Oh, I don't know.
So at first I thought Pedro Pascal. I was like, okay, Pedro Pascal.
Well, once she asks him if he's a zaddy.
Well,
Oh,
yes, I think
yeah.
that's where. But then I thought about the guy that from Saturday Night Live that does the Domingos sketch all the time with Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, he's young
He's
though.
very young.
He's
I
young, but I
actually
think
like
he's hilarious.
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yes.
He would
He's
be
too
like,
old.
I don't care.
No, we're just going to
Dude,
pretend
have
it's
you
just
seen that man?
40-year-old
He does
Keanu.
not age.
No, we're just going to pretend it's 40-year-old Keanu because he's already been that age. He can go back.
It's
I can't
true.
age up these other people.
Yeah, he would
Okay.
be a really good Devin.
He would be a good Devin.
Because
I
he's
think
one of
so.
those ones, he's really funny, but he is subtly funny.
Yeah.
But also, I could imagine him in this role. And
Adam
he does have
Scott
kind of
was
zaddy
another name that
vibes.
came up for it. Depends if you
He's.
mean awkward hot or charming older.
I think he's a little too awkward and nerdy.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd might work, though.
I mean,
Oh, yeah. Paul Rudd works for anything, though,
I was gonna
really.
say, don't he and Mark Garofalo work for everything? Like they're the
Oh,
forever youngs.
Mark
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, either one of them. But I mean, but Paul Rudd doesn't age, so he could play really like a 15-year
Yeah,
old.
this is true. What about for Alex? Who? I have Aubrey Plaza.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she would be very good.
That's the only one
Yeah,
I
because
could think
she
of.
has it like
Yeah.
stone face,
Yeah, I think she's probably like
deadpan reply.
perfect casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and didn't she do a movie that was kind of fandom?
Yeah, she did. I can't think of what it's called.
Oh, she was in Agatha all along.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I felt like she might kind of
Oh,
work.
Stacy said the guy from Andor. Yeah, Diego Luna. He would be
Yes,
a good one.
he would be a good one.
Yeah.
Do you think you would read more Rosie
Yes.
Yes.
Danann?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that she writes more paranormal in this sandbox because
Yeah.
I'm in it. I do feel there was a level of campiness to this, but not ridiculous campiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's the that's like in the good side of the line for me.
Yeah. Like sometimes campy gets a little too much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This didn't feel like too much.
No.
Did I forget to talk about anything else you wanted to talk about for this book?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it all.
I don't think so. Everything else was just, I just had like, I was just going through all my quotes. That was it. I had so many.
But the audiobook is excellent. I thought Aaron Shedlock was a very
Oh,
good
yeah.
Devin.
Yeah.
I do want to listen to it at some point.
It
So.
was good. And this was my first listen with the female narrator. I've never heard her before, but I really liked her voice and her cadence and like the tone that she had.
Yeah. I
I thought
really
she would.
enjoyed her.
Yeah.
I think I laughed the loudest when he Googles, am I a werewolf? I think that was, I was just like, what are you doing?
Oh, mine was when he's in there and he gets a hard on in the Dunkin' Donuts and he's like, "Oh, I have a hard on in Ben Affleck's favorite coffee chain." I died. I died. I was like,
That was a really good
so she
one.
dropped it without, without like naming the name, and I was like, "Oh, that's hilarious."
Yes.
Like I was.
There was something with him. One thing I like too when Alex is on her period and he's like panicking because he's like,
Yeah.
I smell blood. Where is she bleeding? Why is she bleeding? And then he's like, maybe it's internal. We have to go to the hospital. And she's like, I'm having my period. And he was like, oh.
No.
But then he took care of her.
He did. Oh yeah, so there is
He did.
that.
It's like, do you
We
need
did get the
chocolate? Do you need this?
yeah.
Do you need this? Like, he took care of her, and I just loved it. But like the whole, like when she was laying there, she couldn't move, and he was like worried. But then when he like could
Yeah.
smell, yeah,
Yeah.
I really like that scene a
That was
lot.
a good scene. Okay, so let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Jenny said to say thumbs up from her. Leah, is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down for you?
It's a thumbs up for me. I really enjoyed the story, the characters, everything about this book.
Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up for me too. Same.
Yeah, thumbs up for me. I'm a fan. I don't know why we're not talking about her more. I feel like we need to. This is an author that should, if she's not on your radar, put her on
She
her
should
radar.
be. Yeah.
Read
Yeah.
her
If I
books.
don't read any of those other Christmas books, I'll read hers.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a fan. So if people liked this book, and we did talk about, we don't know that there's anything really out there in the paranormal realm that is similar to this.
I think the closest thing, and the only thing I had on my list, because I just time got away from me this week, but I do feel like I got a similar feeling from Wolf Gone Wild by Juliet Cross, only
Sure.
in the thing with Alpha. You know,
Yes.
Devin kind of feels like Alpha in his head sometimes, and
Yeah.
that was reminiscent for me, but that was really the only one that I could think of.
Yeah. I think that's a good comp, you
Yeah.
know. I've read The Roommate. I've not read The Intimacy Experiment by Rosie. I had those on this list. If you like the idea of like the norm versus Hollywood, Everyone I've Kissed Since You Got Famous by Mae Marvel, Fake by Kylie Scott, How to Fake It in Hollywood by Ava Wilder, Funny Feeling by Tara DeWitt, I think has similar beats of the Hollywood.
That is the only book of hers I haven't read.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it does. And it has, because it has like, but it has that underlying emotion that
Yeah,
you're
it's a
not
little bit more
expecting.
emotional.
I mean, it's Tara DeWitt, so you're getting a lot of emotion.
X Talk by Rachel Lynn Sloman, Solomon.
Solomon.
It's a sapphic romance. Better Than Fiction by Alexa Martin. The Fiance Farce by Alexandra Balfour. The Nanny by Laura
Lana Ferguson.
by Lana Ferguson is very close to this.
Well, and I also, if you want those like low key shifter elements, you have Under Lock and Key and the Fate Mate, the Fake Mate. And
Yeah.
then she has a new one, the
Mating
Mating
Game.
Game.
Yeah.
But like it has that low key shifter side to it, but
Yeah.
also this like the stories themselves are rich.
And then if you like the idea of kind of the outsider falling in love with, you know, the star kind of vibes or the fancy person, The Fastest Way to Fall by Denise Williams, Man Spread by Vanessa Vale. Love on the Byline by Zeo Axelrod. Bayou Sweetheart by Lexie Blake. Those kind of are the unexpected connection moments. All the Feels by Olivia Dade. Bad Boy by Jacinda Wilder are a few that are on my list.
And I have a couple more. I have Love and Other Conspiracies by Mallory Marlowe. It has that
Oh.
like campy feel
Oh,
to it.
yeah. That's a good one.
Even Love at First Fright, which is the second book in that series. And then Morbidly Yours by Ivy Fairbanks.
Oh,
It
yeah.
has like some of those campy, but not over the top campy feels.
Yeah. Well, and that has that Pushing Up Daisies vibe
Yeah.
with that Morbidly Yours. And I
Yeah.
feel like that's a good movie comp or TV comp for this
Pushing
book.
Daisies is, yeah,
Yeah.
such a good show.
There was a TV series that Mandy Patinkin was on, and he was back
Oh,
from the dead.
yes, it's called I'm
Yeah.
gonna look it up. Michael and I love that show.
Yeah, this book kind of has those vibes too.
Like George is the lead girl. She
Yeah.
just like
Is it Dead
dies
to Me?
dead. It might no, that's that was Christina
Oh, Applegate.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, there's all that.
I'll look it up and I will
Leah's
let
going to look it
everybody
up.
know.
Okay, so that's a wrap for this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into fan service. Dead Like Me.
Dead Like Me. Dead Like I knew Me. There was.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed our deep dive. We'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the YouTube and then into your feeds afterwards. This coming episode, we're talking about collecting, how collecting books, like collector's editions, sprayed edges. We're going to talk about that phenomenon and how collecting books and reading books are two different hobbies. They're not the same.
No,
you can
not.
Have two hobbies. And then next week, we're back here with the Zom rom-com to bring that back from September that we missed. So
yeah,
be back here next Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out. Thank you for reading Fan Service.
Thanks for having us.
It's always a good time.
Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.